Hey, what up, folks? It's me, your old pal, Roy, and I just wanted to go ahead and take a second to mention a few things before we go ahead and start our show. Dennis Cohen from Episode 12 owns a company that highlights veteran-owned businesses which help provide you the ability to support our nation's defenders. So find them on Facebook at The Spoils of War and tell them your old friends at the Not Suitable for Listeners podcast sent you. Again, that's The Spoils of War. And don't forget to catch friend of the show, Susana Leyva, a.k.a. Vixen Lemuse and Collector Mania 8, at the FAR Event Center, as she will be a cosplay guest. She'll be there November 3rd and 4th, so if you're at Collector Mania 8, stop by and say hello. Now on to the show! Woo!
Do I miss you? Do I miss? Or do I miss the routine? Catch myself thinking about back when the shit looked promising. Do I miss you?
Do I miss?
Or do I miss the routine? Catch myself thinking about back when the shit looked promising.
Thinking about you got me trapped in my mind. Feeling like I lost my heart and I just can't find a way to be, a way to act, a way to make you fade into black. Reminiscing about the times that we text all day. You know what it was, that's all I'll say. It's a regular thing that we will kick it every weekend. See you all the time, till now no speaking. What the fuck, where you at, let it go. Come to think a little more, you was never that cool, never that tight. Guess the thought of being lonely made me never lose sight. It was routine feeling.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another great episode of Not. My name is Humberto Moreno. As always, I am welcome. I am here with my two lovely co-hosts. To my right, I have
Roy Gomez. Hey, it's me. I'm one of the other co-hosts. And to in front of me?
Yeah, in front of
me. We got
Joseph Soto. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's fight night. One more time, I can take you. I am not. Welcome to the show again, guys.
No, it's fright night.
Fright night.
Fright night. Not fight night.
Fight.
No, well, either way.
I like his enthusiasm.
It's there. I like it. Just go with it.
Scaring them. That is for certain.
It's intimidating.
Yeah. I'm a little scared.
I say ridiculous things. I'm sorry.
Well, we have a very special guest. Everybody, you guys have been calling, letting us know that you wanted Dennis Cohen back. Constant, can you place some of those calls?
Oh, we got plenty of them, that's for sure.
Constant,
we got
so many you wouldn't even believe it. Two.
I think I was one of those calls.
And I was the other.
Demanding.
Dennis Cohen, everybody. Please let the people know.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? It's me again. I'm back. I am black, still. Yeah, I'm here again. So, thanks for letting me come back in the house after I stood outside for 5 hours in the rain. I appreciate it.
I was frightened at first. I do apologize for calling the police.
Jeez.
You know, even though it was mostly just me in a police uniform. What you doing around these pots? Oh. My friend Dennis. Oh, hey, Dennis.
We're in Louisiana now?
Yes.
We're down to the bayou.
Jeez. And we got another special guest with us today.
Very special guest.
Tell us, Roy and Joseph.
Oh, yeah. We got a special guest all the way from
Hinesville, Georgia.
Hinesville, Georgia. Rodney Lamar Moore. Sorry about that.
Or R. Lamar. Most people here call him Lamar. Yeah. It's, R just for my first initial, but Lamar.
Okay, I get you.
Yeah.
Rodney's good.
Right? Yeah. Rodney or Lamar.
So, Hinesville.
That's my hometown.
Is that where they make the ketchup or?
No. If you weren't stationed on Fort Stewart, you wouldn't even know my hometown existed.
Wow.
Yeah. But I did school in Atlanta, so I like to say Atlanta. Everybody likes to say, I'm from the ATL. Yeah.
So
ATL.
What do you like to be called? What do your friends call you?
My friends in the Valley, a lot of them call me Rodney.
Creative.
Oh, yeah, it took a long time to come up with
that. About your enemies? What do they call you?
I don't think I had any. I mean,
Well, you just made more. My
first interview. Jeez. Thank you. All right, so
we're so excited to have you here. Tell me, what got you into cosplay?
What got me into cosplay? After coming back from a tour in Afghanistan, like, I was on unemployment. I had nothing to do but play video games. And I was, you know, I still love video games. But it was like, I felt like I should just do something more creative and constructive with my time. So that actually segued me into learning how to paint. I started painting. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at cosplay as just a way of making myself a piece, you know, making myself art and making myself a 3D piece of art. Mm-hmm. So I decided just, you know, creating costumes. I wasn't even intending on wearing them at first, but I just wanted to create something and I, you know, took pictures in them and then I just make another one. And then eventually I just started going to conventions and stuff with them. So, yeah, that's how I started cosplay.
What's your favorite thing you've ever made?
My favorite cosplay is actually a very simple cosplay. It was my Dalsim cosplay because Dalsim from Street Fighter is so recognizable and it was an easy costume to make, you know, because it's just a pair of shorts and, you know, some accessories. But I went to Michael's looking for a different accessory and I saw little tiny skulls. It was Halloween. I saw those skulls. I saw one of those skulls. I was like, I'm going to build a Dalsim cosplay. And from those skulls, I built a Dalsim cosplay. Nice. And, like, that was actually the first cosplay I wore here in the Valley. And it was, like, it's so easily recognizable for anybody who knows the game. And it didn't take anything to really build.
I saw your Gorillaz cosplay, which I really enjoyed also. I thought that was really cool.
Oh, that was streaming pretty high on Tinder right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The last time I saw it was, like, 51,000
wow.
votes up. Or well, because it's a group of us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to get a full group of Gorillaz cosplayers, so we tend to...
You meant Instagram? I mean Reddit. Hey, sorry. Oh, I mean, if it was going on Tinder, I was like, God damn. Grindr. like, holy shit.
They want you.
I am doing it wrong.
Like, fuck, man. It was actually on Reddit. Like, in like one of the, you know, the cosplay. I took the, like, because it's hard to get a full group. So I took a selfie of all of us together. And somebody clipped, screenshot it from my Instagram and put it on Reddit. And like I said, last time I saw it was up to like 51,000 views or something like that. Yeah.
I think I saw that one.
On Reddit?
No.
On Grindr.
Yeah. He's on there also. Yeah.
Plenty of fish.
Plenty of fish on that line.
Puff game.
Yeah, but yeah, it's what I've learned about that one picture right there is like, admire the fact that it's popular. Don't read the comments. Yeah, I learned that the hard way. It's like, I'm gonna say something so bad. But
was there really a lot of bad stuff?
Well, the girl in our group, she got a lot of flack from that post, and it was like I said, it was a selfie. It wasn't even a great picture. It didn't show her whole costume, and everybody was just talking so much smack about her. So I made a post on my Instagram and showed some of the pictures I took over the course of the weekend. With better poses of her in the full costume and everything, because it's, you know, everybody's a critic.
Yeah, everybody, people on the internet are mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to hide behind an internet wall.
I'm mean as shit. I'm not gonna lie.
Literally, the calls that come just to talk shit about us. It's insane.
Both of them?
Yeah. All me and Dennis.
I can't help it. I gotta criticize. They say we're our own worst critics. So I get on there and I'm gonna talk shit about me hard.
Yeah, you got anything coming up that you're like planning on doing, like a costume wise?
Well, cosplay. I heard it was a convention, Econ. I think it's in Austin. Mm. And like, I'm a Georgia based cosplayer, so I've been doing a lot of, you know, anything outside of the Valley, because in the Valley I just walk down the street and go there. So I'm thinking about going to that one next. And like, I think the thing that gives a lot of people a new insight, especially in the Valley, is because, you know, you don't get a lot of cosplayers of color darker than, you know, the Mexican color. And
what color is that?
The Mexican color, you've seen it. It's in.
Describe to our mute.
That's what it's called, audience. The Crayola box. It's called Mexican. You open Crayola, you see the Mexican color. It's
in there. Mine's Jim Brown.
Jesus. Yeah, but like a lot of people, because, you know, some Mexicans are fair skinned and some are darker skinned. So the spectrum for cosplay is pretty much wide open until it comes to somebody like dark skinned characters like Blade, and they expect black people to do Blade or Nick Fury or, you know, anybody black. But since I don't limit myself to those characters, I do any character I connect with, I do it. And I think this is kind of new here in Nevada. Like in Georgia, it's common, but in the Valley, it's kind of new.
Do people get upset that you're a black Mario?
No, but I get upset when they call me Black Mario.
No.
Yeah, because I'm not black. I'm just Mario. Mm-hmm. You know.
So what would you say to like people who are bigger, like Joseph and I, and we want to, you know, we want to cosplay something, but it doesn't necessarily like fit our body type?
See, I'm a very adamant spoken, and I had an incident where I slipped up in Dragon Con. I could probably get back to that later, but I don't limit myself to my body type, and I don't recommend any, I don't tell anybody you should do this because of your body type. But people who do cosplay their body type, some of their cosplays are epic depending on who you do. I saw Cartman in Atlanta. It's a big dude. I mean, a grown up guy, he stayed in character the whole time. It was awesome. But you don't need to limit yourself to your body type. Cosplay is for anybody, any size, any shape, any sex. And like when it comes to cosplaying, it's new to the Valley, but like other places, there's no gender. If I want to do Sailor Moon in a skirt, it's acceptable in the cosplay community. But like people who don't know the cosplay community from the outside looking in, it's like, why do you want to do a woman? There's so many guys. Or why do you want to do a white guy? There's so many black guys that you can do because you're black. You know, they don't really understand that there's no gender or race when it comes to cosplay.
How would you change people's perspective coming from the outside? And do you think it's a culture thing? Do you think it's a...
I think it's very much a culture thing. And like... because of the culture, I wouldn't say settled into the culture when it comes to my my cosplay, but it is more like, since it's kind of new here, I've slowed down from like some of the stuff I've done in Atlanta. Like one convention here, I was Mario. I brought my Mario here, and I thought it was the cutest thing. A couple had their little daughter who was a Princess Peach, you know. And they wanted her to take a picture with me. So, yeah, I squat down real low and I took a picture with her. So, like, because of the fact there's a lot of kids and stuff in the community. And, you know, with the different type of hype that you have with, you know, men dressed like women and stuff like that. I slowed down some of the diverse things that I would do in other places because of the community. But I wouldn't say I've stopped, you know. I just, since it's slower to grow here, I'd rather grow with it instead of trying to be the dynamic change. You know what I mean?
Beautifully answered, by the way.
Although I will say, I did enjoy when you were
Sailor Jupiter.
No, actually, I was going to say Conway Stern from Archer, because I love Archer. So just seeing that the was it the diversity double whammy, a black Jew, you know. So that was that's definitely pretty cool. Right there.
Wait a minute, I want to hear more about the Sailor Jupiter.
Yeah.
Sailor Jupiter. Yeah. Like I had a friend. She wanted to do a Sailor Moon. She was new to cosplay, and I love to help people get into it. And she said that she wanted to do a Sailor Moon cosplay with all of her friends. And I was joking, and I was like, "Yo, I could be Sailor Jupiter." She's like, "That'd be so awesome." And I was like, "Okay, I'll look into it," you know. And I looked into the characters, and I was like, well, Tuxedo Mask is the obvious guy. And I looked into the cost of a Tuxedo Mask cosplay, and we're looking at close to $200. Sailor Jupiter, big woman size, like $130. I'm like, huh?
Wow.
Well, I'll be Sailor Jupiter. You know,
so. Sailor Venus.
And like, contrary to popular belief, skirts aren't that comfortable.
What?
Like, because I felt like my butt was out the whole time, you know, so I kept wiping the skirt down. But you know, I was in Atlanta, and I women, kids, everybody was so eager to take the pictures of me because they knew I was a guy, and I wasn't trying to look like a pretty woman. I obviously looked like a guy in Sailor Jupiter, but they loved it.
And that was hilarious.
I ran to a Sailor Mars who was another guy, and those pictures kind of blew up on Instagram too. It was like both of us together. And women, there was some people from Japan taking pictures, kids taking pictures with us. They loved it.
Did it blow up on Tinder too?
I didn't post that one on my profile.
Okay,
because
okay.
The gorillas was already.
So what's your Tinder profile for all the ladies out there?
Honestly, I deleted Tinder.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's they're too easy.
It's too easy.
Oh yeah, it's too easy.
They want your kidneys for sure.
But interesting.
That's awesome. I've always wanted to try it, but
It falls into the body type
thing. Yeah, I tell everybody, because... I mean,
have you ever seen a fat Deadpool? No, right?
Yeah. A lot of them.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Everywhere. Yes. All over the place.
There's a lot of Deadpools out there. There's
a lot of different shapes and sizes. I think that's the only one you can pull off.
I think what people do with Deadpool is try to think of the most off-the-wall, odd cosplay they can build with Deadpool and go with that. Mm-hmm. I've seen a guy in a wedding suit, and then a wedding dress as Deadpool.
My favorite one so far, Deadpool, has to be the Bob Ross Deadpool.
That's my favorite.
The South Texas Comic Con, and he had a huge brush. Like, the brush was like life body size brush, and I was like, yes, that one works right there. I can dig with that.
No, I was going to say, she wasn't Deadpool. I saw a nice, busty female Bob Ross cosplay, but there was no Deadpool. There was no Deadpool in that one.
Anything busty.
Yeah. Breasts are going to get you your popularity.
Oh, yeah.
So he talked me into this. What we're also going to try to do is Wario and Luigi. Waluigi. My bad. So, yeah, we're going to do that, and I'm gonna do Wario.
Once again, that's a body type style cosplay. Doesn't have to be, but you know, like I said,
You know, you're tall, and you are
short, fat, is cool.
Sorry, I was gonna say
they like picking on us.
Adorable.
Thank you.
Very excited. Very excited. Roy, what do we got going on?
Oh, we got a couple of things going on today. Yeah, I got a couple of good little bits ready for y'all. I guess we'll start with the first one. This one is called the Tacolosh. Now, the Tacolosh is a devious spirit with poltergeist tendencies. It's a tiny demon with a penis so long it must swing it over its shoulder. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right. The Xhosa people are highly superstitious and take their folklore very seriously. Xhosa men and women raise their beds on bricks to prevent the Tacolosh from climbing up and getting under their sheets. Frigid women are claimed to be the work of the Tacolosh. And the Tacolosh has been known to carry around STDs and be HIV positive.
Sounds like one of my deals.
Can I just say something? Like, when you first started that off, I thought you said Taco Lodge. So I was literally thinking about, man, a lodge with nothing but tacos. Like, this would be fucking like a ski lodge.
But it's like nothing but tacos. Sounds like an ideal resort. Oh, yeah.
For some reason, there's a short guy running around naked.
Swinging his penis over his shoulder.
That's the gimmick.
Tacos, get your tacos. I'll have some if he's not touching them. Like, if he's nowhere near them, I'll have an order.
What's that swinging on his shoulder?
I only have some if he's having them.
I think I'm pronouncing it right. I think it's pronounced Tacolosh. I might be butchering the name.
I still just see tacos.
Tacos.
It's like, I think it's stripes.
I think when I looked it up, I think it said Tacoloshi.
Tacoloshi. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Pronounce it
Tacoloshi.
Right. Pronounce it right.
Yeah. This is the first time I've pronounced it. I've read it many times, and I make up my own word, I guess, in my head.
Yeah.
So it sounds similar to that. But they're known to be malevolent towards adults and, oddly enough, friendly towards children. In a recent case, the Tacolosh terrorized a local college where students were desperate to escape their house in horrors. As many as 78 people at the college complained of some big, scary, super horny little man with a huge penis who abused them. They spoke of an evil Tacolosh, right? All right. Who was destroying their lives. Many of them claimed to be virgins when they went to college, but since had lost their virginity to the Tacolosh. The men have woken with some sore anuses, as women have had agonizing pains in their punanis. And that's in quotes, because that's
in quotes?
Yes, that's what they... That's
did you fair. Quote it, or...
I didn't quote that.
This was on USA Today.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was NPR. So to go back, and I feel like I'm being a dick right now. So you said first I heard Tacolosh. Now it sounds like you're saying Tacolosh.
Tacolosh.
Now my brain's picturing like just you know like
you want to keep your tacos
bacon favorite just like Tacolosh. Just like.
You don't want your taco to crack.
No, you lotion your taco.
You never lotion your taco. You're going to put sour cream?
It is kind of cold outside. It is cold.
Now, I do have a direct quote from somebody. When night falls, the Takaloshe, take off your panties and lick your punani with its huge tongue, and then it penetrates you with its huge penis. It feels fantastic when it happens, but the next morning, your punani is not happy.
End quotes.
And no, this is a continued quote. This is a continued quote. It feels like if you put hot pepper on it, and that's the end of the quote.
Is this like at UTRGV? I feel like this is going around at UTRGV.
Oh my god.
This is a very spooky episode, by the way. I am frightening. Sorry. Of a tiny, thick dick. Juicy.
Oh, yeah. It's
what did you say, juicy?
It's spooky, is for sure. That's for sure.
I'm scared.
Especially already. Likes guys.
Yeah. It doesn't discriminate.
He's not biased. Well, we're all shirtless right now, so we definitely have an issue.
I do have another encounter with a male student at the college. He said that he fought with the short man on Monday night when he was trying to masturbate him.
What?
Oh, yeah. I saw something open the door and I covered my face with a blanket out of fear. I became dizzy and tired. Then I found myself naked and the Takaloshe was busy masturbating me. I said, Jesus, and the short man ran away.
So
you gotta call the Lord.
So he was high and getting a hand job and he said no.
I mean, he was already halfway there, blanket over the head, just
Takaloshe.
I think if you look in like the town next to it, maybe there was like a midget wrestling competition, and that's actually what was going on. It's like, I don't know if it's hog swallow.
That's in the realm of possibilities, yeah, that's for like, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to rule it out.
A lot of professors have actually left the university due to all the Takaloshe activity going on there. Hmm. Yeah, so it's a little bit of a problem. I mean, 78 people came forward with the snow.
May I ask, what location is this? What's the geographic location?
This is South Africa.
Oh.
Why has it got to be Africa?
It was
South, though.
But,
South. Yeah.
So we know it wasn't Ron Jeremy. Short with a big...
So he's actually come down to the valley a few times.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you guys catch him when he was here?
I wish. I'm like honestly, like if I can meet any porn star, of course I don't whack off to the guys, but you know they're plowing the girls, and like just if I could just high five one, any of the ones I idolized, that'd be awesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Ron Jeremy?
Yeah, even Ron Jeremy. He's a yeah. I wouldn't say a classy. What is he? He's an icon.
Oh yeah.
He's definitely an icon. Yeah.
Strong word.
Yeah. Interesting.
But then you handle the modern day one.
I high five and I wash my hands.
Johnny Sins and Johnny Gunn?
Nacho. Nacho's the
Mandingo.
One.
Mandingo.
What's the guy that's like they're always getting the girls to do all the weird shit? It's not Nacho, the guy before him though.
Humberto Moreno?
It's like one guy's like you literally like when you see his name and fucking shit, like you know them girls are doing some nasty shit.
There was one
like,
guy.
Like they're doing some like some fucking one. He gets them. I mean, this dude stuck a big toe up some bitch's ass.
Max.
Is that
right?
Max Hardcore?
Max Hardcore.
It's Max Hardcore.
Oh, yeah. That guy had so many lawsuits.
Yeah, he'd have like, girls, you'd see pictures on his website with girls and lipstick smeared and stuff over their face. Like,
this is interesting.
He was hardcore.
What is
the name?
Spooky.
So, let's go
on the topic of sexual encounters.
Well, I mean, if you got daughters, then you gotta.
Keeping with the theme, I do have some alien sexual encounters to replace the Craigslist missed connections for the time being.
That's a missed connection.
Yeah, I'll play the same song, just in alien voice.
Yeah.
And replace certain words. Anyways.
What's up, human bitches? It's me, an alien. And I'm from the planet Venus.
First recorded alien seduction, which happened to Antonio Vias Boas on October 15th, 1957.
57.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Now, he was reluctant to tell the story at first, but he was convinced to speak up by Dr. Oliva Fuentes, professor of medicine at the National School of Medicine of Brazil. He went public February 22nd, 1958, and the strange occurrences happened 10 days prior to the encounter, including Boas being stalked by a bright white light on October 5th in the middle of the night. Boas was frightened and he shut his windows, and the slam was loud enough to wake his brother, who also witnessed the lights. Now, on October 14th, the brothers had been working on their farm when they noticed a bright light darting 300 feet above their head. Antonio set out to investigate the light, and as it got closer, it began to dart away.
The light kept still for a few moments longer in the distance. Now and again, it would throw these rays in his direction. He went tending the fields the following night alone when the object reappeared and landed near his tractor. He was taken aboard the ship by three alien creatures. He was stripped of all his clothes and he was put into a chamber, and it was filled with a gas that made Antonio sick. Now, some people speculate the gas was actually a disinfectant. So he was then approached by a naked female alien who entered the chamber. They then started to get freaky, and I mean freaky. She bit Antonio's chin, and after she got hers, she dropped his ass off back in the field, and then that was the first recorded case of the intergalactic hitting it and quitting it, pretty much. And Antonio began to notice strange marks and burns on his body, and when he was examined by Dr. Fuentes, he was diagnosed with radioactive poisoning.
Talk about an STD.
Yeah.
Of the other degree.
If it was an alien race, how did you know it was a woman?
That's a good point.
That is a very
it could have just been a freaky dude.
Gay alien. Maybe. But
it
I think.
A different orifice.
I think it had like the appearance of some kind of like. Yeah, it didn't look male.
I could talk about an encounter that happened years ago. But
with you? Why have we never talked about this?
Yeah. I told you this before.
You've never brought this up, but you had sex with an alien? Tell everybody about that.
Let's continue with another story here.
Dr. Francis was a leading ufologist at the time, and he had ties with the government the military, and claimed Antonio's case had merit. Antonio never sought fame or intended to profit from his story. He would later on to become a lawyer and die of a very strange blood disease.
Did he have any children?
That sounds like I don't think he did, no.
Yeah.
I was curious about that.
But you did say it could have been a female appearing alien, but we have female appearing guys that we run into.
That's true. Oh, yeah.
Fran.
They're way ahead of us. Yeah.
It's 2018. If aliens want to cross intergalactic, put on a wiener, take it off, whatever. You know?
It's their right.
As long as they're not illegals. They're going to come to this country. Right.
Well, apparently if they're having sex with the people here, they're already trying to establish a relationship to get a green card. So they're doing something right.
I want to blow you for a green card. That's my illegal alien voice.
Alien voice. I do have another encounter.
Yeah?
Let's
hear him, Roy.
This one happened to a guy named Meng Zagaru. He's from China.
You just butchered that.
Yeah, I know. Now, he was a logger in China, and he was hard at work at the Red Flag logging camp in 1994 when he spied a mysterious metallic shimmering object nearby the mountainside. Now, suspecting that it was actually a downed helicopter, he sat out to investigate, hoping to collect some kind of scrap metal. But when he approached the wreckage, something hit him in the head and he blacked out. After he came to, he was confused, and he had this irrational fear of iron. Now, later, at home, he awoke to find himself levitating. An alien woman appeared. She was 3 meters tall with 12 fingers and braided hair. She straddled him and they had sex for 40 minutes. The sexual encounter left Meng with 2-inch-long scars. A month later, Meng found himself floating through the ceiling into a waiting ship. Now, Meng said that they spoke Chinese but with very heavy accents, so it was hard for him to understand at first. They said they were refugees. Like me, they wanted to escape their former lives, so they left their dying home. He asked to see the alien who he banged, but they informed him it was going to be impossible. However, the aliens told him, in 60 years, on a distant planet, the son of a Chinese peasant will be born. And they informed him he'd get to see his child one day, but without further details.
That's way better than Star Wars.
So they were refugees from their home planet, decided to fly all the way to Earth and bang some poor Chinese dude and then take off again. That doesn't sound like an ambition.
It's like an intergalactic Tinder, you know? You just show up. And
this guy looks sex deprived.
You look nothing like your picture. Saying you look like Janet Jackson, or you look more like Freddie Jackson?
Great reference there. I like that.
I get it.
That's some crazy stuff, man. So that was that obviously must have been a red flag.
No.
I mean, it's like pink. I've never had sex where it leaves 2-inch long scars.
Oh,
I have. Why is that? Because I haven't been living.
Yeah, I've been living right, Roy.
I've never had sex with over double digit time. Like 40 minutes. I was like, damn, 10 minutes.
That's a lot.
That's impressive to me right there.
I'm thinking he had it down to the minute. 40 minutes? What are you dreading every minute of it? My God.
Oh, well. Oh, no, I'm a virgin.
No, I'm a virgin.
You said you had something. What did you have? You said you had a story?
No.
No, come on. You can't leave us like
that. It could have been a lucid dream, but all I know, but...
Tell us about your lucid dream.
Yeah, 7 years ago, in 2011, that not a
specific.
Hey, no. In 2011, it was my birthday, and my friends at the time were like really stoked, like, man, we're gonna get you fucked up, really fucked up, and we did all kinds of like narcotics, I guess you could say. I don't want to say drugs. Really. Look, what you did 7 years ago, that's your thing. What I did 7 years ago.
I know what you're talking about. Who you're talking to. There's no video. Why are you talking to Dennis that way? Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize.
Come on, Joseph.
He's our guest.
We just want to hear a story. You don't have to alienate our guests over here.
Yeah.
Alienate? Is that a joke?
I'm legal. I was born here.
Oh. Shit. Oh, forget this story.
Come on, I actually want to hear it. No, let's hear the story.
What's the next topic?
2011.
Yeah, you were 16.
That's the next topic?
You were doing lots of narcotics. Maybe, possibly.
I don't remember. I just remember the specifics. Fuck you.
Oh, go on.
You gonna start miming shit again?
Yeah, Dennis.
What, man?
Twisted son of a bitch.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry.
You leave my poor friend, best friend, Joseph Moreno Soto. That's how much he loves me. We took each other's middle names.
Yeah, middle name.
Back to you, Roy.
Back to Joseph.
Yeah, back to Joseph. Tell us your story.
I was curious about it, Joe.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. You can forget it.
Oh.
All right. Well,
see what you did, Dennis.
Shut up, Bert. Oh, man.
Whew. You shouldn't have let me in the house.
It can't be any crazier than the shit that I just read.
I told you this story about a year ago, because we were talking about alien abductions, but that were not sexualized. They were just abductions. So I'll just paraphrase, why not cut it up. It was 2011. That night I went home. It must have been like 3 or 4 in the morning. I lay down in my bed, and when I'm laying down, I didn't have a specific way of laying down. I just laid down just a regular, normal, like, patient, arms to my side. I laid down straight, north to south. The next thing I remember is waking up to very vivid room, a room that I couldn't really describe because it seemed sort of like a endless hologram, if you will. It didn't feel real. Like, the room I was in was real. Like, you could feel it wasn't real. But all I remember specifically is I look up, and when I look up, I see a panel of maybe rows of hundreds of LEDs, and they were all specific RGB, RGB, RGB. Red, green, blue, red, green, blue. And in any direction I looked, they're rapidly shooting into my retinas. I guess projecting in a way. And all I remember is a door opening. Now, remember, I said it wasn't a room. It didn't feel like a room. It felt like some sort of, like a med bay, so to speak. And the door, when the door opened, it felt as if the door was out of nowhere. You just see a straight line. Door opens. Two blue bird-like humanoids walk in. And one of them speaks softly. Relax, stay calm. This is going to be fine. It's going to be wonderful. And the other female, obviously she was female. There was female-like qualities. Curvature, voluptuous. And I guess you could say I partook in a intergalactic three-way. And it felt so real. And every time I'd come to, I saw the RGBs again. I'm looking up at a panel, and it's red, green, blue, red, green, blue. And they're rapidly shooting into my retinas. That's all I specifically remember. And I wake up. I felt cold. Light sweat. I felt as if I was just placed on the bed. Because when you lay down in a bed, it feels nice and cool. And I could tell it was a cool bed. It wasn't warm. And I know I was warm. I was sweaty. But that's a story that happened and I specifically remember to this day.
Do you guys think it would be inappropriate of me to put some porno music while Joseph's telling a story?
I don't think it would be inappropriate. It's interesting you say that, man. Like, because here's the thing, like, I always feel like about, like, alien stories and stuff like that. And especially when people are telling these stories. To me, it's like, when the person brings up humanoid, like, to me, that's like, okay, well, then that's just your mind. And I say, and this...
That explains... Mm-hmm. That would probably explain the RGBs.
Yes.
Now, that I do specifically remember. Giant panel. Like I said, this room didn't feel real. And you could sense, like, it wasn't real. And the panels were probably what gave the illusion in my mind. But that is specific. I will take it to my grave. I felt with a passion that this was real. They were RGB panels flashing continuously to my retinas.
Interesting.
Which brings me to the next point, ladies and gentlemen. On your Halloween candy, make sure it's not laced with LSD. Because you could be fucking bird humanoids.
Or you could just get baby boomers to test it out, because they're used to that. So you could just feed them some candy, have them test your Halloween candy.
Cut that out.
No, I'll leave it in.
No, it's
not. We can cut that out.
We're not going to cut anything.
So interesting.
We don't edit.
I'm embarrassed this story. Sometimes.
This is
like when I tell people, they're like, dude, shut up. There was probably like fucking cocaine laced in that pot or whatever.
No, dude, are you kidding me?
Well, regardless of the fact, the story, still tell it.
It's your experience.
Yeah.
And I can't deny you that.
Felt real.
I mean, mine isn't like anything to do with aliens at all, but like I remember. It's like, if you felt it, they can't
and
tell
every
you
encounter was real. Every pump and every, that sounds fucking wrong, but every human-like interaction during this episode was real. And it felt so real, but there were times, and I will admit this, there were times where it felt like I was holding a Rubbermaid sort of device.
Mm-hmm.
But those were times when I look at the panels and I'm trying to break free, I guess you can say. I felt like I was trying to break free from this interaction.
Uh-huh.
I had this thought, and it goes back to, for me, it's like from my experience in the military, or my deployments, where I felt like the life that I live right now is me in like unconscious somewhere in fucking Afghanistan because like a rocket fucking exploded. Yes. And when I dream that, like, I dream that I'm back in Afghanistan, that's actually me regaining consciousness or whatever.
That's very interesting that you mentioned that.
So in this sense of your story, I also think it's kind of like how you feel about like the Matrix and stuff like that, is where we're all like connected to something else where we're just dreaming, and then when we're asleep, in quotations and all that stuff,
we connect with a different self from a different dimension or universe. That is a theory I've said before to you gentlemen, but of course
you laugh,
but it's okay.
We laugh.
Nerd!
Yes!
What a nerd, what a geek.
That's definitely
right, point Dexter.
Nerd conversation.
Yeah. For a different topic, different night.
Yeah,
this is perfect for this night.
That's a spooky.
Definitely a sci-fi.
I could freak you out. There is some dreams that have felt so real, so realistic that I felt that I was connected to that person in that universe or that dimension.
That's actually not that crazy of a story. I mean, there's a documentary out there on Netflix. It's called The Curse of the Man Who Sees UFOs. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. No? It's pretty good watch. This man had been seeing UFOs pretty much his entire life, and it ruined his personal life. Like, I think his wife winds up dying of cancer.
Why are you laughing at that?
He started laughing, and I was like, I'm about to, I don't know.
His children caught a fire? No, yeah.
Like, his wife dies of cancer, and there's this whole falling out with his actual family because they just think he's insane, but, like, he has all of these recorded VHS tapes that go back from, like, 1991 and stuff, of him just going out and recording these weird dancing lights in the sky. But, and then he also, at a certain point, even figured out how to call them by flashing prime numbers up at the sky. So eventually he'd do it long enough, and he's like, you could do it during the day too, and they'll still show up. You just need a mirror for the daytime. And he would do it, and periodically you would see these little weird dancing lights that would show up throughout the thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. Really, yeah, really good.
That's an experiment we could do.
On my end, I guess pertaining to my culture, being black, like, I grew up in the South, like, and I say this simply because it ties back to this. Like, I grew up in the South, in the country. The land that I live on used to be a fucking plantation. Mm. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It used to be a plantation. And it's so weird that, like I always remember the joke of people saying, well, they can't be ghosts because if so, then black people will be haunting the shit out of stuff, right? But, like I used to, like, we used to walk in the woods and stuff like that. And, like, you, like, feel something. You know, and it's not an animal. You know, it's not like whatever. Like, you be out there and, like, you come up on, like, houses that were old shotgun houses. And shotgun houses, for those who don't know, it's just a house, like, it's like an old, like, a little small, I always say, like, 300 square foot house. Mm. And, like, you can see, you open up one door and you can, and yeah, open another day, you see straight through it. You know, like the barrel of a shotgun. And so those were, like, used to be, like, old slave quarters or sharecropping quarters and stuff like that. And so, like, we come across, like, rundown stuff like that. Mm. And, like, it, like, really creeped me the fuck out. You know, like, just, like, being near that type of stuff because you feel something there.
The energy.
Yeah, you feel the energy there. And so, too, like, when the Blair Witch Project came out, like, that, like, struck a nerve with me. One, I was too stupid to realize that the Blair Witch Project wasn't real at the time. Because, like I said, I'd walk through the woods and you see houses that look like that. You know, just run down and, like, they didn't have basements and shit like that. But you see, like, run down shit and you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
But you know what, like, didn't help the whole Blair Witch Project, like, determining whether it was real or fake, was Blockbuster put out a VHS tape of, like, oh, here's the actual documentary about the whole Blair Witch phenomenon, and it's been going on forever. Yeah. But it was all fake, also. It's just like a companion.
Yeah, the second one. Yeah, when the second one came out, I was like, oh, okay.
Oh no, this was in between the first and the second one, so it was like a documentary about the movie. It being real footage, real lost footage, even though it was
interesting. Yeah, how do they get away with stuff like that? Lying to the public. Like,
it's a movie. It's just a
Paranormal Activity. I don't think they did not say it, but it was based on true events, and I believed it.
I think they did say at the beginning of it, it was based on true events.
They were based on true events.
But it's kind of hard that, like, with the movie magic of Hollywood now, it's like, if they were to say it was a documentary, like, if you believe in that, it's kind of hard to say, like, no, that's fake, that's fake. Like, if you really fully believe that. So if they say it's based off true events, it's like, you're looking at a reenactment, but somewhere, or in some film or in some form, this has happened, and that's what they're selling you.
It's kind of like that movie, the one that came out not too long ago, the real, like, Christian movie, There Is a Heaven or Heaven Is Real.
Oh, with
like
the little
that
kid.
Yeah, where the actual story of the movie is about 12 pages long, but they had a ghostwriter go in to fill the rest of the book, and the ghostwriter was the ghostwriter for Sarah Palin's book, Going Rogue. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And I met one person who got really angry about, because I brought that information up to her, and she was like, no, it's not. I saw a documentary about it. And I was like, well, just you can see as many documentaries as you want, but this is the truth. I'm not saying what you believe in is fake, but don't believe the entire story. I guess it's there just for, like, well, you know.
It says it too, based on true events, where it's a boy did faint and he saw things, and then he told his friend on the podcast.
Yeah, when you go back to, like, the trying to prove, like, when you think about, like, even magicians go back to the days of the pharaohs, you know, it's easy to trick the eye. So there's no real way to really prove any of this. It's just, I could swear, like, I saw a TV show. I was a magician. You see him, he's standing here. Somebody takes a picture and words appeared. And you couldn't see him with your eye, but you see it in the Polaroid picture. Polaroid is an instant. So, like, if you can fool a camera that close, you can fool anybody. So it's, you can't really prove or disprove with especially with the trick of the hand and, you know, magic.
And I agree with you about the whole trick and eye thing. Yeah. Me and Dennis, we wear glasses. If we were to take these off and you did a magic trick, let's say hypothetically 1,000 years ago, we would believe what we saw. But remember, there was no eyewear or any kind back in those days. So what we saw, we'd have to take other people's words for it and, you know, go along with it. Because we're blind. We couldn't see.
Yeah. Benjamin Franklin, a strong white man, invented glasses. That's why I put them on the 100. I don't know where that came from. Joseph, you bring it out of me.
You guys want to beat him up?
Well, you think because we're black, we're violent? No. See, there we go again.
No, that's not what I meant.
This is the second time.
Yeah, that makes it back to race.
Joseph, who would have thought? You know what?
I'm not the one that emphasized can't white you, man.
Could you go the malarkey here? This guy. Right back to you.
We can segue on to our next... on the topic of spirits and the supernatural, I wanted to bring up something called the spirit box. I don't know if you've all have ever heard of what a spirit box is.
No? Never heard of it.
No? A spirit box, or it is also known as a ghost box or a Frank's box, is a device that uses radio frequencies to communicate with the dead.
Whoa.
Now, most spirit boxes are created or tested and altered to sweep either FM or AM radio band. A mix of white noises and audio fragments can be audibly heard. Some devices will also feed the audio in backwards to ensure more accurate results without relying on normal AM or FM frequencies. I do have... I think this guy out there, he's probably doing the best paranormal research when it comes to like spirit boxes and stuff. It's a clip from Huff Paranormal, and this one he's talking to the late Robin Williams. Now, what I like about spirit boxes is most of the times they do give you coherent sentences instead of just phrases or words. And it's, you can build them yourself. There are instructions out there. You can buy them, but if you buy them, they're close to like $800.
Yeah.
But if you build them, it'll cost you close to like $300. It's way cheaper alternative, but it's never insured. Like,
it's going to work.
Yeah. It's never, like, they don't sell you a warranty with any of them if you don't get results. You actually do have to kind of prepare in order to start speaking with the dead. Some people recommend to, meditate beforehand to kind of like maybe get yourself a little bit more centered.
Yeah.
And then, go for it.
Oh, no, I was just curious. I mean, like, the stuff that they have, like, can you still make it because Radio Shack's closed? Or like,
it's probably even harder
like,
now.
Do you just go to Best Buy and get it? Or
I don't it's probably,
eBay, maybe.
Radio Shack was a spirit box enthusiast.
That's what kept their business going.
We're building spirit boxes? I don't know. It's paying the bills. Just sell it to us.
We're selling our souls here.
But
spirit box kit.
It's like Pokemon almost.
Let me pull up that.
So why are you doing that? Like, that's the other thing too. Like here, like how do you guys feel about saging? You know, like I know, like. You get these, like, sage smudges. I knew nothing about sage smudges until I came down here. And, like, I was, like, at the... What's it called? The Puga. And, like, they're like, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, they're selling weed sticks. But it was... turns out it was fucking sage. Mm. And, like, I was asking later, well, how do you do it? And they're like, well, you know, sage the house, open up the windows, shit like that, to release the bad energy or the bad spirits out. So, like, say you have a spirit box, right? So you put the spirit box near one of the windows, and then you're chasing the fucking spirit around with the fucking sage or some shit?
I think you just need to leave it in a specific area, kind of not close to anything electronic.
Okay.
Yeah, so you kind of keep it away from things, that way nothing interferes with it. Cause,
oh, no, I was going to say the spirit box isn't chasing your spirit, you're just trying to talk to it.
Okay.
It's still hanging out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that's the other thing is, too, it's like, a great example is that when I was a kid, we had a little radio. like a little walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm. You can sit a walkie-talkie in a room and pick up people talking, oh, yeah, you know, on their phones and stuff like that. So, I mean,
that's where some of the spirit boxes will take the audio and feed it back, mm-hmm, backwards into what you're hearing to kind of like ensure that you're not getting any of this.
Gotcha.
You know, like these words or phrases that are coming from anything that's interfering with it or whatever.
Okay.
But then there are also the real primitive versions of it also that won't do that, and they'll just scan radio frequencies, which is also, I think, the other... It's... I would think that the alternate version of it is probably the more accurate because you're not getting anything coherent.
Okay.
You know, so...
Hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm a bit older. I remember back in the days with the old TVs, you know, it was like, especially a lot of paranormal shows, they really interact with white noise, you know, mm-hmm, the fuzzy channel on the TV. You used to see that a lot in the stuff even back then. So,
right, yeah.
Like, it just seems to have something to do with radio waves and frequencies. And
I think it's just easier for whatever spirits are lingering to manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's the whole purpose of
But spirits. If you want to get down to it, down to the science of it, everything does have a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Everything does have a technically, what I air quote here, source code.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably could, you know, be a factor.
Now, this clip that I have is from Huff Paranormal, and they are speaking with Robin Williams. I'll go ahead and play that for you.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
It's a first attempt at contact before he took his life.
Are you there, Robin?
The description says, to me, you can hear him say, "We're waiting."
What?
And there's more.
Are you with the angels, Robin? Thank you, Robin.
Now, did you guys catch what that last word was?
Fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a very vulgar guy.
What did it say there?
Now, so the description says, so let us say for a moment that this is Robin coming through. Maybe he is stating he got it wrong, again, taking his own life, or maybe what he was seeing or where he is.
Y'all really trying to freak me out here.
We have a Johnny Cash one. There's a Michael Jackson one.
Nice bubbles.
That's ignorant.
And this is some audio footage from a third session.
Robin, if you're there, can you come through?
And the description says, in my opinion, the "I am dead" is in his voice, and not only do I think so, hundreds of others who have heard it and messaged me agree. Now, like, when you hear that, the "Can Robin come?" It's kind of like in the character of Robin Williams to throw his voice to kind of mock the person that's talking to him. And then at the very end of it, he's just like, "I'm dead." I can pull up another clip of
Johnny Cash one.
Yeah, I'll pull up the Johnny Cash one.
With this shit, man. I respect that shit.
I tell this guy, if I ever made one of those, or if I had bought one, I'd spend hours at a night, every night, just trying to listen and try to come up with something or put something together.
And, you know, this guy at Huff Paranormal has actually done quite a bit of spirit box sessions. I know he's talked to Prince. I don't know if you all have ever heard of the YouTube sensation Angry Grandpa. Well, Angry Grandpa passed away about a year and a half ago, and at the request of his grandson, he contacted Angry Grandpa, and like, all the things that he's saying is in the mannerisms that he would say things in his actual waking life.
But I don't. Why do people like? So you're saying like you would do that?
Well, it's because I like sound. I love hearing phased sounds and modulated sounds.
That's fine.
That's the musician in me, though.
But why mess with the dead? They're
technically, I'm not dead. Messing with them. I'm trying to listen. Like in this instance,
the plot of Casper. Think about it. The dad wanted to talk to ghosts because he missed his wife.
But that's selfish. It's like it goes back to my theory on having children. It's like bringing people into this world for your own enjoyment, because what you want is selfish. like, funerals are because you're selfish. Like, you, the person's already dead. You're just, like, I mean, yeah, you're celebrating their life or death or whatever it is, but it still is, like, it's for your own closure. They're dead. Case closed. Mm-hmm. Like,
and plus, the word, break it into two words, fun, real. I've always thought that was kind of weird. Like, why do we still use that word? There has to be a different word, because you don't put fun and real together. Like, has anyone ever thought about that, by the way? Just a little wordplay there?
No.
It's interesting, though, but it never did.
Yeah, those two words together that just don't make sense. Hmm. It's like, this is real, but it's not fun. But it's a funeral.
Funereal?
Well, there's a word that's missing, a letter, but you know what I mean. Fun? You know what I mean, you bastard. Well, funeral, but you subtract one letter.
Just funny, real.
But I think, like, the, you know...
I thought of it because it's dumb. I didn't say Casper was a good movie, by the way.
But I think that, like, when you think about funerals, what they were a celebration of life, not a mourning of death, but they've become a mourning of death, so maybe...
That's why it carried over, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see
what another fun fact here. Kinder. It's a German word. Why do we still use it for kindergarten? Just think about it, though. Like, I had this argument once with somebody at work. Just some random girl asking, why the fuck do we name it kindergarten? I'm like, well, it's a German word for kinder, kid. And garden is a... You put the English two words together, it just sounds fucking weird. It's a kid garden. Yeah.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
Cabbage Patch Kids. Like, why do we still carry around these fucking, like... It's just weird. Like, weird topics we talk about.
But we still use, like, French words and, like, everyday French words and stuff like that. And things
French fries.
French fries. French toast.
Yeah. I think somewhere along the way, English scholars got bored and were like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to keep these words in here. So just... We'll make it sound English as fuck, but it's going to be a foreign language.
Tacos.
Anteater. The laziest name.
That's true. That's a good point.
What's it doing? Exceeding ants.
That is not good.
Is it like anything else? I don't know. I just saw 80 ants.
I was just looking at him. He's all fucked up.
What? Now he's eating honey. There's already a badger doing that.
It's a good one.
I'm done.
Now, this next clip is of a Johnny Cash's Spirit Box session.
Bring to allow spirits more time to manipulate it. Now, yesterday when I did the Michael Jackson, out of the four or five replies, I think I heard one in real time. Hello, hello. Might have been something. Are you, if Johnny Cash can hear me, are you happy? Are you in a good place right now? Are you happy? How about when you were younger? You can hear the interview is coming through the speaker normally, just with some reverb.
I was definitely on the show. I heard about the lady. Every time I have a patient,
now we're going to turn on direct line mode and record for about one more minute. So if Johnny Cash can come through, or any spirit that's here to use his voice to talk to us, feel free. Well, I heard that, so you're doing awesome. Thank you. That came over his voice. So that came through that. What is your name? Did you just whistle? That was...
So, yeah. What's your take on that?
Like I said, I'm straddling the fence on that. It's like, if I can believe that the Son of a God I served walked across water, then, like, who's to say somebody can't invent something that can talk to, you know, a past spirit? But I'm still kind of straddling the fence on that.
I agree. There's...
That's a hard one, man. That's a hard one for me.
Talk to spirits through.
Now that wasn't rocks. That wasn't the end of the clip. There is more interview with Johnny Cash.
And we got a couple replies, but now I want to try to get more replies. So if any of my guides, Ava, anyone can help me connect with Johnny Cash, where he can use his own voice to come through and talk to me. I know it's not easy and you need energy, but if anyone can help me with this, that would be great. Again, it's in reverse. Has Johnny Cash gone to the light? Is Johnny Cash in heaven? Ooh. That was kind of creepy. Is there anything you want to say to fans, family, or friends while you have a voice now? You can use this device to talk.
What is he?
I miss them.
I miss them. Thank you. I heard you. And just so you guys know, I've been a Johnny Cash fan for a long, long time. I'll put a classic on that everybody knows.
Yeah, that was without any of the audio action.
Let's go do this. Okay, we're going to play one of your songs. Let me know if you hear it. Can you hear the music? Should come on any second. Here we go.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
Because you're mine, I walk the line. Alright, let's go back over here. Did you hear your music, Johnny? Did you hear your song?
He said, I'm now in love. Something like that.
Do you still play music in the afterlife? Looking for Johnny Cash to come through in his own voice. It's possible. In the background, all your CDs are up here. I have your interview, your last. Your last interview is loading in. Is there anything else you want to say?
He said, I'll let you walk with him.
Mr. Cash.
That last one was Love and Light.
I would say I'm not, you know, I don't fully believe in anything per se, but what makes it convincing is because their words don't make sense. They're kind of like random utters. Like, if it was a clear voice from another side talking the way I'm talking now, I'm like, oh, that's bull. That's just, you know, that's Hollywood. But because of the fact that the words sound so random and don't really make sense, it kind of sells more of a convincing argument that he could be talking to the paranormal.
Yeah. Opposed to, like, someone on the other side just...
Well, most of those words do come back reverse. If he was to take those words and play them backwards, it'd be probably somewhat of a formidable sentence. That's what I hear. I hear them backwards sometimes.
I think if you call a spirit in general, you're going to catch something. Like right now, if there's a spirit in this house, please touch Joseph. And they'll come out in the...
The podcast.
In the podcast. You always hear something in the background like, yes, I love Joseph. Something.
I love him large.
And in charge.
What's that catchphrase we had last time? Chuckle Chaser?
God damn it.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You scared the pug.
He was right by me. Oh, man. I forgot about the Chuckle Chaser. Yeah.
The Chuckle Chaser.
You guys gave me and my wife like about a good 40 minutes of role play. definitely.
You're welcome. Glad we can help. Yeah,
she Chuckle Chased me around the house.
That's the least we could do.
Yeah. That's what this podcast was originally based on.
Trying to get other people laid.
Yeah.
Just doing so good.
Or just background noise for what's going on. Yeah.
Please, leave us in the background when you make sweet, sweet, tender love.
Oh, man. Gosh.
Think about all our faces when you're making love to your ladies.
Prolong that happy moment.
But if there's a spirit in this room, please touch Joseph.
Stop. You're going to piss somebody off.
Like I said, man, that... I can't believe it, one, because you don't see the whole picture, okay? Yeah, as in, like, you're just sitting there, like, you're seeing what he's showing you.
True.
If you can bring something like that to me, and I'm not even saying that it has to be, like, one night, but if you can go, and we say, like, a month, and we do this, and you show me that, then, yeah, I'll believe it. You know, but until then... When I don't see the entire picture, I'm skeptic about it, you know. Like I told you, I don't fuck with the dead. But, like, ghost stuff, like, that's just, I don't, you know, I'm just kind of like I said, I'm the type of guy who's like, look, you're dead. You know, just leave it be. Let them in the dirt. If there are spirits, why disturb them, you know? Why agitate them?
Well, there's also that other theory that spirits could just be like a fragment of memory that just keeps replaying over and over.
Well, they call residual energy.
Yeah. There you go.
Something that plays back constantly, forever. Which is, I kind of believe, yeah. I mean, but then again, I also believe in the layered on kind of verse. Where there's a multiple universe kind of thing. We're directly in it. Mm-hmm. And it's... And we're in there, and they're in here. So it's kind of like a.
We're at a different dimension. Like, the same plane.
Same plane.
Did you hear about the? There was some Roman soldier ghosts that people had been seeing somewhere in, I don't know, Rome. That's where they're from.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah. Whatever. We're not getting geography or geometry.
But the way that the apparitions would appear would be from the shoulders up, but. In the floor. But that would only make sense because back then Roman roads were, you know, been layers and layers upon other things. So they would only see like heads and shoulders walking.
No knees and toes?
No knees and toes.
I'm upset though. Like, we've been doing this for a while and no one's mentioned Ghostbusters. Not once.
I think we brought that up on other podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind.
One of these days we'll do another on location ghost hunting.
Yeah, we're planning on doing that.
You're more than welcome.
You're more than welcome to join.
I just want to know where the money is. You know, if the ghost could tell me where they hid the money, I'm all right. And then we'll talk. Until then,
yeah, do something useful, ghost.
Solve crimes.
Who killed you? Can I get 20 bucks?
Hey, yeah, yeah.
I got you. Just 20 bucks.
So. Well, first you got to pay me back for the burger. And then I'll give you the $20. Because you should have told me beforehand to go through that.
If no one was going to eat it, I was going to eat it.
Oh, yeah, of course. No one doubted.
Like I said, if it was fried chicken, I would have found some way to put it in my stomach. Would have got in there.
It's interesting, we had Whataburger, and I like he brought up Golden Chick. So, like, the thing is, at work, they call me Golden Chick. Because I used to have, like, a fro, but I kind of had, like, the faux hawk. And everything, and my glasses made me look like the Golden Chick guy. Like, the chicken, I actually look like the Golden Chick chicken because of the fat cheeks and all that. Yeah, it's terrible. It's
madness. Well, you know how bad nicknames stick, so.
Yeah.
But, like, you guys are talking about the ghost tours. Like, if you ever find your way in Savannah, Georgia, like, I'm sure you guys go through all the time. But they do have, like, a ghost hunting. Like, they got... Mm-hmm. Actual haunted houses in downtown Atlanta. I mean, Savannah, that they'll give you tours through.
I'm all.
And see, this
that.
Is actually where we learned the difference between somebody who might do it legitimately versus somebody who might not do it legitimately. Right. Now, the guy that we had an experience with, he was trying to charge people to take them to cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
And a cemetery is like a public park. Yeah. You could take anybody to a park. So it's like charging somebody $10 just to give them a ride to the park, you know? Like...
His
marketing strategy had a lot of flaws in it. You know, he wasn't really selling it the best way he could. And the way that a lot of people would normally do it is they'll find a place that's supposedly haunted, and then they'll get in contact with the owners, and they'll make a deal with the owners, like, we'll charge people this much, and you'll get this much off of every ticket, and then, you know, we'll leave the place the way it is.
And like I was saying, like, if you really want to believe in something, like, you will feel, I mean, your mind would just set you up to feel like you felt, oh, my hair's just stood up on my neck. That's because you already went in there thinking that something was going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. And you're in a cemetery.
Were you going to say nipples or chest?
Hairs on the neck.
Hairs on nipples on your neck?
The one hair on my nipple.
We did talk about the rat last time.
Oh, yeah.
The rat with the dick on it. You should.
Oh, man. What a great night.
Thank you for coming, gentlemen. It was really a pleasure having you.
It's a pleasure being here.
You know, getting to know you guys and having the listeners getting to know a little bit about cosplay. And, you know, we kind of got that towards the end. It was still pretty great. A lot of information. We're learning a lot.
Yeah.
It's a roller coaster, this podcast, really. You know, it's scary when it wants to be. Hilarious when you get there.
Well, Halloween comes up, so both themes are fall right into what's coming
fall
up.
All in there.
So, yeah.
Horror always complements comedy and vice versa. I guess if you guys want to plug anything that you got going on, any social media?
My Facebook page is, I just came up with a new name, is the Mad Dreamer Cosplay, Mad Dreamer Cosplay on Facebook, and my Instagram is Skrillin23, SKRILLIN23. I post a lot of my cosplay projects and a lot of things I'm working on and new things that are coming up. Sorry.
No worries.
Oh, yeah, that's me right there.
Okay. Oh, and you guys know me. At the Social Rhinoceros, at Get the Spoils, at Chuckle Chasers. You guys know that's where you can find me. Facebook and Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat. What else is there?
Twitter.
Grindr.
Yeah, Grindr. All that stuff. Yeah, you can find me on there, too.
My buddy here was telling me about reminded me about, we have a little t-shirt project me and one of my buddies in Japan are working on.
Cool.
It's Kuma-san Inc. also on Instagram, but it's still in the early stages. His side of it is doing really well. My side is not doing that great. I need to, I guess, pay more attention to it.
A shirt company or?
Yeah, they're bear themed t-shirts.
Ooh, I have an idea for a t-shirt. I always wanted.
That's awesome. I could probably give you some help with that. I mean, some what I've learned about it. But Kuma-san, KUMASANINC.
I've always wanted to be famous in Japan.
What does that stand for? What does that mean?
Well, Kuma means bear in Japanese.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't know that?
No, I don't know
that. That's what he asked.
Watch out, you fool.
That's what the question is. Son is like the like respect for anybody if you call somebody son.
Domo, domo.
My buddy's the one who came up with it.
What's your favorite anime?
Right now, I just finished I don't know how to pronounce it. Alderaan Zero? Okay. You know what that is?
No, I have no clue. All the cosplay I know about.
Aldebaran, something like that. It's like tanks and chicks.
Okay. Cool.
Sounds interesting.
It's like Tank Girl.
Yeah. Oh, I love Tank Girl.
Don't talk about Tank Girl. He's going to go
tank
hard.
Just what the kangaroo man.
Oh, yeah.
Like iced tea.
Was that true?
He's a kangaroo. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
He was a gangster.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a cop or something like that.
Yeah.
Kangaroo. So, I like to call this segment Umberto's Fun Facts, and I'm going to steal your fun fact. But Ice-T, believe it or not, was in Tank Girl as a kangaroo.
Yes.
For those who didn't know. And Glenn Close was also... No, she wasn't.
Not in that one.
I thought it was a dog.
So, the other thing... They were dogs?
One of them was.
Oh, okay. So, the other thing, too, is like you... Because I asked you about anime. Like, so Rodney introduced me to this really fucking funny anime. Like, it's called Shimonetta. And, like, it's...
My friend mentioned that to me last week.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It is hilarious. It's, like, a place where dirty words don't exist. And it's, like, just... When we talk about anime, I bring it up because it just... It's super funny, man. You should definitely check it out.
I stumbled on it looking for a different anime because I was downloading. I was looking for an anime about a prison school. And this one is not about a prison school, but... You get locked up in the school if you do something wrong against the rules. And, like, sex is against the law in Japan at this time. And you got a rebel who's, like, trying to introduce everybody to sex. And, you know, it is hilarious. I mean...
Gotta check that out.
So, yes.
Have you ever seen Fooly Cooly?
No.
No?
Not yet.
I think it's only 8 episodes long. And they just came out, I think, 15 years later with a second season, which is also 8 episodes long.
Wow.
Yeah, the music's really good, and it's just silly and all over the place. I recommend that one, if you haven't seen that one yet.
Have you seen Volcano High?
I haven't.
Okay, so Volcano High came out in, like, 2005 or something like that. So it's not anime, but it's actually, like, a live-action movie. But it's dubbed by rappers and R&B stars.
Oh, shit. Uh-huh.
So it's like Andre 3000, Outkast, Snoop Dogg, all of them. Yeah. Like, look it up. It's like, it's really funny. I can't remember exactly what the premises was, but they're at school, and like there's like bad guys, good guys, and all that stuff. But go ahead.
But
definitely check out Volcano High. Definitely Volcano something you'll High. Like. You'll like it, for sure.
It's funny you mentioned Fooly Cooly because one of my cosplays, people think I'm a character from Fooly Cooly. I'm like,
really?
I need to see this anime because people keep asking me about it.
Yeah, which character?
Skullmania from Street Fighter EX plus Alpha.
Oh.
It was a series that wasn't that popular, but he was one of my favorite characters. So.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people keep saying, are you from Fooly Cooly? I'm like, no, what is that?
It's really good if you haven't seen it. It's Fooly Cooly, and then there's also this other high school one, which I really like also. It's just as silly. It's called School Rumble. Yeah, I love that one. Freddie Mercury comes out in it as a character, as a reoccurring character.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's a kid in high school also with all these other little kids.
Wow,
yeah, that's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Does he sing?
He doesn't, and he's just often quiet whenever they refer to him, and sometimes he'll be really extra and on top of a horse. Yeah, it's really good.
It's like Big Mouth. Love that show. Have you seen
that? Oh, yeah.
I have not seen that show.
Yeah, you're
fine. Everyone keeps telling me to watch it.
It's funny.
What's his name? Jason?
Nick Kroll?
It's like The Wire of cartoons, I guess.
What? Really?
You know, like, you know how everybody's like, you gotta see The Wire. You gotta see The Wire. Like, everybody has told me, you gotta see Big Mouth. You gotta see Big Mouth. And then I watch it. It's like, it's actually pretty good. And so then now I'm the person's like, you gotta go see Big Mouth.
It's Jason Mantzoukas, and I think it will be...
Oh, shit. They're good nerd.
My dicks are getting everywhere. Shit.
Hey, Joseph, what do you got going on, huh?
Huh?
What do you got going on social media?
Oh, then we're going to talk Bert first. Doesn't Bert like to go first?
All right, let's go to Umberto. Umberto.
Cheesecake, motherfucker. All right. My name is Umberto Moreno. You can follow me on Snapchat. At HCOL, that's H-C-O-A-L, I never post anything. But when I do, It's mildly entertaining. Also follow me on the Facebook at Humberto Moreno. That's H-U-M-B-E-R-T-O, last name Moreno. I'm going to shorten that eventually. And probably not, because that's my birth name. You can also...
You should change that.
I should. You can find me on Twitter, but I'm not going to give you that one, so we'll make that a puzzle. And I also have an Instagram, which my Instagram is...
That's when you enter it.
Oh, okay. I'll put that in there.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. Once again, I want to thank our guest.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
I think Joseph also...
Oh, yeah. Joseph's here.
Didn't you plug something?
No, not yet. You go ahead.
It's happened. All right. My turn. Here we go.
Yay. This is the sloppiest plug segment.
This is long. We've been plugging for like... Fuck, 30 minutes.
Yeah, what's going on here? Oh, shit.
An action.
Look, as much as I want to tell you guys, you know, stop the trolling, stop the fake accounts, stop trying to lure me into the, you know, into the darkened streets and, you know, trying to abduct me. But I'll go ahead and tell you. You can find me on Instagram at... and on Twitter, you can find me at... And that's where you can find me, guys. You know, that's great.
Also, and don't forget to find him. Yeah, and if you want his social security number, I'll go ahead and throw that in a little later, too.
You're not going to do anything of the sort.
Oh, well, they're going to find you already.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to find where you are.
I thought you gave your social security number to ISIS. So, I mean, you're already... Oh, no?
And
no?
I have...
Oh, we don't talk about ISIS?
No.
Oh, okay.
ISIL.
Oh, my bad. ISIL.
Say it right.
ISIL.
What are you, Obama?
It's Obama.
Humberto.
Either way, we'll get him. Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at Joe Meggles. I mean, I post stuff here and there. It's little stupid stuff, you know, nerdy shit. I mean, it's like, what does it matter, you know? My Instagram, you guys can find me at MeggleTV. Hit me up. Please, no troll accounts. I'm tired of it, guys. You know, no troll accounts. I'm tired of getting, you know, asked to come to India and shit like that.
So popular with the Indian crowd, though. Why are you excluding our Indian
listeners? I'm not, you know, I'm not excluding. I'm just like, I don't have that kind
of
money.
What if there's a lot of attractive Indian gentlemen who befriend you?
I will pay you to come.
You don't want to work for shekels and rupees and all that stuff? Frankincense and myrrh.
Frankincense and myrrh.
I don't know what they have.
Aren't those like...
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, the three white.
Three's one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Follow the star.
That
wasn't... What?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
This is the longest plug ever.
Dennis, did you plug
things? My shit.
Oh, did I plug something?
I don't know.
I plugged like 5 months ago.
Roy?
You can follow me on Twitter at KingLeonidas12. That's KingLeonidas12. And or on Facebook at Roy A. Gomez Comedy. I don't need to spell that for you. And the same for Instagram, Roy A. Gomez Comedy. And that's been an episode, fellas. Yeah, that's been this episode.
Long episode, yeah.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Goodbye.